All right, recently, over the last so many weeks, we've been on a study of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a very famous psalm, and some people have it memorized. It'd be a good psalm for you to memorize. It's only six scriptures long, and it tells how loving God is toward us, what a loving shepherd He is. And last week, we studied Psalm 23, verse 5, the first part of Psalm 23, verse 5, and it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And a good shepherd, a good human shepherd, prepares in the summer the tablelands up high in the mountains for the sheep. He prepares the tablelands for the arrival of the sheep because he is a loving human shepherd. And we are the sheep of whose pasture? We are the sheep of God's pasture. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and because this shepherd, this human shepherd, prepares the tableland for the sheep, it goes to show what about the shepherd? That he has what for the sheep?
Compassion.
He's got care and compassion for the sheep. And it's the same way with God toward us, friends. He is our caring shepherd, and he cares about every single thing that you're going through in life right now. Never doubt it. You might be going through some big challenge in life right now. Maybe it's a disease diagnosis. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Whatever it is in life that you're dealing with, God knows about it. If it concerns you, it concerns the heart of Almighty God. And God is also concerned about the small details of your life. The small details of your life. Maybe like for $3 for a bus fare. If it concerns you, guess what? It concerns the heart of God. And just like the shepherd prepares the tableland for the sheep, God is making preparations for your miracle breakthrough right now. Amen? Because he loves you so very much. So we talked about the table of care and concern. And then we talked about the table of peace. He prepares before us a table of peace before us in the presence of our enemies. I don't know what enemy you're facing today. Your enemy may be a storm that has hit your life right now. Maybe an unexpected report. Something that you did not expect to happen has happened in your life, and it's like a storm rocking your boat. It's an enemy in your life. But in the midst of it, God can prepare a table of peace before you in the middle of your enemy called the storm. How does he prepare a table of peace before you in the presence of a storm?
In his love.
By you knowing that he is in control. God is in complete control of your life. This storm is not going to take your life out. You know, your boat, your life may be rocking right now. It's not going to tip. He's not going to let it tip, and he's not going to let you drown in Jesus' name. You can rest in peace knowing that God is in control. Do you agree with that today?
Amen.
All right, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the second part of verse 5. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And we're going to be reading some excerpts from Philip Keller, who once had a flock of his own. And this is what he says. As one meditates on this magnificent poem, it is helpful to keep in mind that the poet is recounting the salient events of the full year in a sheep's life. Then he says here in the second paragraph, suddenly we find a fly in the ointment. For in the terminology of the sheepman, summertime is fly time. By this, reference is made to the hordes of insects that emerge with the advent of warm weather. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly or nasal fly, as it is sometimes called. These little flies buzz about the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh and there set up an intense irritation accompanied by severe inflammation. Often advanced stages of infection from these flies will lead to blindness. That's interesting, isn't it? These flies buzzing around the face of the sheep. Only the strictest attention to the behavior of the sheep by the shepherd can forestall the difficulties of fly time. At the very first sign of flies amongst the flock, he will apply an antidote to their heads. I always prefer to use a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which was smeared over the sheep's nose and head as a protection against those nose flies. Once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in behavior. The sheep kind of calmed down. Here's another interesting fact. Summertime for the sheep is more than just fly time. It is also scab time. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over, caused by a minute microscopic parasite that proliferates in warm weather. Scab spreads throughout a flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Again, as with flies, the only effective antidote is to apply linseed oil, sulfur, and other chemicals that can control this disease. In many sheep-rearing countries, dips are built and the entire flock is put through the dip. Each animal is completely submerged in the solution until its entire body is soaked. The most difficult part to do is the head. The head has to be plunged under repeatedly to ensure that scab there will be controlled. Some shepherds take great care to treat the head by hand. That's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting. What does this go to show about the human shepherd using this oil, this mixture on the heads of the sheep? He's using this oil to do what? To bring healing to the sheep. To make sure that the sheep remain physically whole. And so what's the application to us, sheep in the new covenant? Sheep of God's pasture. What's the application to you and me today? That God, our good shepherd, anoints our being, not just our head. God wants to anoint our entire being with the oil of healing. God wants to anoint our entire being with the oil of healing. We're going to talk about healing in a couple of different ways. Now, what does it say in Acts 10:38 about Jesus? It says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And then in Hebrews 1:13, Jesus is the exact representation of God. If Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and he is the exact representation of God the Father, what does that go to say about God the Father? It goes to say that God the Father wants to do good in your life and heal you where you need healing today in different areas. So we're going to talk about physical healing for the next few minutes. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If you have a Bible, turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Mark 5:25. God, the good shepherd, Jesus, wants to anoint you with the oil of healing. Don't forget that. Verse 25 of Mark 5. In the middle of another miracle Jesus was about to perform, a woman shows up. She had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So what did Jesus do in this account? He anointed this woman with the oil of physical healing. Bleeding for 12 years. The doctors could not do anything. But we serve the divine surgeon, don't we? Jesus Christ, God the Son. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. The two blind men. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and says, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. What did Jesus do to the two blind men? In accordance with Psalm 23, verse 5. He anointed them with the oil of physical healing. He restored their sight. They were once blind, but now they could see. Is that making sense? Because Jesus says that He is the Good Shepherd. He went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. One chapter back. You might be wondering today, you know, man, I've got a sickness in my life. The doctors have diagnosed me with an illness. Maybe it's in the life of a loved one. Maybe it's your eyes. Maybe it's your ears. Maybe it's your heart. Some other part of your body is diseased right now. And you might be wondering in your life right now, is God willing to heal my sick body? I don't know if anybody here has ever wondered that. Is God really willing to heal my sick body? If we know that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, that goes to say that God is willing to heal your sick body or the sick body of a loved one. Turn to Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It's almost as if this leper was wondering, you know, wonder if God, if Jesus is really willing to heal me of my leprosy. And how did Jesus reply in verse 3? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Jesus is willing to heal you. Make no doubts about it. Now, you might be wondering, does he have the ability? Does God have the ability? Friend, God has all power. He is able to heal any disease. Let's go over a few verses to Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed some of the sick. No, it says he healed all the sick. Why? Why did he heal all the sick? Because he is able. He has got the ability. He has got the power to heal any disease. It is such that you can bring a room full of sick people to Jesus and he could heal every single one. He did it 2,000 years ago, and if he was present today in flesh and bone, he could still do it today for you and for me. Verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. You might be wondering today, could Jesus still do it for me today? Is Jesus still today able to heal my sick body? Is he today still able to heal the sick body of this person that I love? And the Word of God says, yes, he is. What does it say about Jesus in Hebrews 13, verse 8? That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that say? That says that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago. The Jesus who anointed people with the oil of physical healing 2,000 years ago is able to do it for you today. Don't doubt it even for a second. He is willing and he is able. He has got the power to heal any disease. Is that making sense? Amen? You know, back in March of 2008, I was doing a service at the Tulsa Dream Center for Phil Brown. He was ill at that time, so he wasn't doing the services. How many go to the Tulsa Dream Center services on Monday night? Well, I was substituting for Phil Brown back in March of 2008. So I preached the message, and at the end I had an altar call. I believe the altar call might have been for healing. I believe it was. And this gentleman came forward for the altar call. And I kind of just prayed for everybody at once. And he came to me later and said, Jonathan, I just wanted to tell you this, that I came to this service tonight with back pain. And after I came to the altar call and prayed, believing that God could heal me, the back pain was immediately gone. He was so excited, he started kind of just walking and running around that room, testifying to the goodness and the miracle working power of God in his life. If God, if Jesus was able to do it for that man 2 years ago, friends, he's able to do it for you today. He is no respecter of persons. Let me say it again. If he did it for that man at the Tulsa Dream Center in March of 2008, friends, he can do it for you. He is no respecter of persons. You agree? That's the Word of God says. He is willing and able to heal. Now, he can also heal emotionally. Yes, he wants to heal physically, but he can also heal people emotionally. I believe that a lot of emotional problems, like depression, some mental diseases like schizophrenia, are demonically induced. And let's read what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 17 of a man that was demon possessed. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Amazing, isn't it? The disciples could not heal this demon-possessed man. Verse 17, all unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why, Jesus, could we not drive out this demon? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. For sure. Nothing will be impossible for you. In March of 2000, some of you might have heard this before, I was doing a crusade, an evangelistic crusade, a gospel crusade, in South India, Southeast India. There were about 250 people there. And I was just preaching the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the very front of the row, there was this woman who started to twist and writhe like a snake. I believe she was demon-possessed or oppressed. She was just interrupting everybody. And in the middle of my message, I stopped. I pointed to her and I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit, I command you to come out. And I kid you not, immediately, that woman became still. She kind of shook her head, sat up, and listened to the rest of the message. Who cast the demon out of that lady? Jesus did. The same Jesus who cast devils out 2,000 years ago in Israel did it in March of 2000. If he did it for that woman, friends, he can do it for you. He wants to bring you emotional healing. He wants to bring you mental healing. And maybe some of your depression, schizophrenia, maybe some of the mental illnesses that you've dealt with or are dealing with today have been induced by demonic oppression. And Jesus wants to deliver you today. But what is he looking for? What is the common thread of all the accounts that we read? What's the common thread? Faith. It's faith. The woman who was healed with the issue of blood had what? She had faith. If I could just touch the hem of his robe, I will be healed. And she was healed. The two blind men, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. Do you believe that I'm able to heal you? Yes, Lord. That was a confident yes. It was a yes of faith. Right? In the deliverance of this young boy in Matthew chapter 17. Why was he delivered? Because of the faith of whom? Because of the faith of Jesus. The disciples had no faith, so they couldn't cast the demon out. But Jesus was full of faith. He was walking faith, and he cast the demons out of that young boy. Amen? Amen? If he did it for that young boyfriend, he can do it for you today. All God is looking for is faith. What is faith? What is faith?
Believe.
Like the woman who was healed, the two blind men that were healed, this young boy who was healed. What is faith? It's knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can do for you what His Word says He can do for you. Knowing that you know that God is both willing and able to heal you of your physical infirmity, to heal you of your emotional infirmity, to heal you of that mental disease. It's just knowing it and knowing it that you know it beyond the shadow of any doubt that God can do it. It's not allowing doubt for even 1 second to enter your mind. What kind of faith is God looking for? He's looking for a... not a faith that says maybe so, possibly,
unwavering.
No, he's looking for unwavering faith. He's looking for a doubtless, childlike faith. That little child who loves its parents, or loves his dad, loves her dad, doesn't doubt her dad's goodness, right? She knows that dad will provide for all of her needs. She doesn't doubt her dad for even a second. She just fully trusts her dad. And that's what God is looking for in you and me, is that doubtless, childlike faith that does not doubt His goodness for even a moment. Knowing that you know deep down on the inside that just the way Jesus healed 2,000 years ago, He's able to heal you today. He wants to anoint you with the oil of healing. He wants your cup to overflow with the healing power of God in every part of your life. And it goes for many areas. He wants to heal your relationships. You know, heal your mind, heal you physically, heal your emotions. He wants to heal you in every part of your existence. Amen?
Amen.
You got to know it on the inside that God is both, let's say it with me, God is both willing, say it, God is willing and able to heal. All he's looking for? He is looking for faith. And God honors faith. Why? Because it's faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So what does that go to say to me, to you? That with faith it is possible to please God. God honors faith. If he knows that you have faith as small as a mustard seed, knowing that you know that He can heal you, guess what? He will do it in your life. You just got to believe. You've got to have that die-hard faith that does not give up. And there are certain things you've got to do, friends, in the natural as well. You know, if you've got high blood pressure or maybe heart problems, maybe it's time to change your diet in the natural. Start eating healthier foods, vegetables, fruits. Maybe start jogging or walking on a more consistent basis. You've got to do something in the natural, yes. It's when you add your natural to God's super that the supernatural power of God goes into effect in your life. Making sense?
Amen.
So God, yes, God is looking for us to do something in the natural, tied to our faith that God is able. Amen?
Amen.
Kevin here's got something real quick.
All right, praise God. Brother, stand up. What is your name?
Gene.
Gene, tell them what happened to you 2 days ago.
I was passing the kidney stone, and I was in severe pain. And I came to here, and He prayed for me, and I had trust to believe, and the pain was gone.
Wow. You have not had a kidney stone pass since, is that correct?
Not any pain at all since that day.
All right, brother.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you. Have a seat.
That's awesome.
Real quick. One day I was walking down the street. A young man was jumping up and down on a trampoline. He went very high into the air, and he fell forward. As he fell forward, he hit a metal piece of metal on the trampoline. He broke his arm. He fell onto the ground. I ran to him. There was bones sticking out of his arm. You follow me? I put my hand immediately on his arm. So I said, "Strength to these bones in the name of Jesus." I took my hand away, and the bone was no longer sticking out of his arm. There was no more blood coming from his arm. There was just a small red patch where the Lord healed his arm. The child, now remember this, healing is bread of the children. If I'm saying that correct, healing is for the bread of his children. Amen. The oil he's talking about, each of these cases took faith. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Faith.
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 Trust and believe.
Amen.